The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It is Thanksgiving week. Thanks for being with us. We're going to dive headlong into the Territorial Cup, getting ready for Arizona, Arizona State, and much, much more. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business as always. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. Television shows are on Arizona Family Sports and on Cox Yearview 4 and 7 in Tucson, and maybe more. It's an interesting time. We are self-funded. We appreciate our partners that jump in with us and say, Brad, we believe in you and your team and what you're doing. We do appreciate their support. This is a week where I'm going to take a closer look at Arizona, Arizona State with Jordan Hamm and Jordan Spurgeon in this show today. Jordy was down in Tucson for U of A against Utah. I watched the game from here in the man cave. Spurge was over at the bloodbath with ASU getting destroyed by Oregon. But I want to go deep with both of them on what they've seen with this Saturday's Territorial Cup. And just, are the programs really heading in the right direction? What happens to Jed Fish in Tucson in terms of a contract extension? Is there a buy-in with Kenny Dillingham and the players? And when they're both Jordans are around the program at Arizona State, what's it like? What do they expect Saturday's game to be? I'm always on the side of the street of, we have to do some things to make this game more meaningful. Now, this year, the game is on ESPN. That's a change. Usually it's on FS2. With a NASCAR backup announcer who doesn't even really know college football. That actually happened. Or it's on the Pac-12 network. And it's always on the Friday or Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend. This year it's on the Saturday. It is at 1:30. At 1:30 on CBS, Alabama plays Auburn. That morning, Michigan plays Michigan State. You will never, ever, ever get College Game Day or Fox Big Noon kickoff to come to Arizona State, Arizona on the same day as Alabama, Auburn, and Michigan, Ohio State. It's not going to happen. And so because of that, like, was it Game Day went to James Madison last week? But when was the last time they were in Tempe? Years. So as I've said repeatedly, and this is my point of contention, I'll just bring it up again now, is the Arizona-Arizona State game needs to be moved to the middle of the season, the start of the season, any other weekend than this, just this, simply because, well, this is how we've always done it. This is tradition. You're tearing apart tradition. This is how our families have always done it. Well, you're making it pretty much about you. Is the stadium going to be sold out? No. Will it be announced as a sellout? It might. It might. They may do the whole ticket sold deal, and that doesn't count butts and seats. Will it be more U of A fans and ASU fans because Arizona has a lot more to play for than Arizona State? You know, the Sun Devil fans can turn around and say, well, this is our bowl game. And that's true. It is. But the way that Oregon just toyed and chewed up and spit out ASU, and the way that Arizona just blew right through Utah with ease would tell you that this game has the look of a classic mismatch. It was all fun and games when Arizona State won 70-7 and they put up a billboard and all the stuff online and all that stuff. It's all great. What's happened since then? Not much if you're an Arizona State fan. Oh, Brad's not siding with us. No. Merely looking at both programs and saying from 70-7, the program that is in much better shape is in Tucson than the one that is up here. In fact, I'd go as far to say that in the Big 12 next year, Arizona, assuming, which is hard to do in this college landscape that we're in, assuming the transfer portal doesn't swing wide open the wrong way for them, assuming Jed Fish doesn't leave, which there's quite a few programs he's being linked to. There's also the financial situation at the University of Arizona that came out last week, $240 million unaccounted for. President Robbins talking about having to eliminate some parts of athletics. Now they're doing damage control and they're circling back. Oh, well, it's not going to be football. We'll see. So this is every year when these two schools play, there's always an intrigue. Usually the intrigue is which coach is going to get fired. usually the intrigue is which team is, and they're both bad, is going to win. My deal is on a national stage, this barely moves the needle, but being on ESPN is a good step. I'll give them that. It's just a busy time. There's so many games on. And if all you're worried about is just people here in Arizona, I think you have to expand your brand. And there's pretty simple ways to do it rather than, well, this is how we've always done it. I watched some of the Cardinals game on Sunday, and I was more interested to watch in the afternoon the 49ers game and just how Brock goes out and tears everybody up. You know, his passing rating was unbelievable, and just how much fun it is to watch a team like the 49ers play football where they're laughing and having a great time, and they're not messed up. There's not a whole bunch of stuff swirling around from the past they're trying to put behind them like we have here. I do know this, that after watching Kyler for a game, and I'd say I've probably watched about three quarters of this game, in my mind, it's still the best thing to keep him. It is. If you use those two first-round picks, and you have to hit on them, obviously, but I think they've hit on some players this year in the draft. They have. So I'm trusting that this administration can do that. And Kyler's shown me an awful lot since he's come back. Did he make the best decisions? No. Did he have the best talent out in the field to work with? No. And there's just going to be some moments that are still uneven for him. I'm trying to give him some grace and benefit of the doubt. But if we're looking at a big picture and two first-round picks versus keeping Kyler Murray, I would keep Kyler Murray. That is today. Those variables could change if certain things were to happen. So the Rams roll into town this week. And the Rams are one of those teams that's going through transition. And they were in a space where where Seattle should have beat them, plain and simple. And so the Rams are going to come in here, and we're just interested to see how hard the team continues to play here for Jonathan Gannon. You know, people can grab onto, did you see Jonathan Gannon jump up and down when Kyler Murray scored the touchdown? And did you see Kyler pointing back at him? That's got to mean that they're really on the same page. Really? I don't know. Get more talent around him. Let's just see what we have to work with here. But I think for now, the quarterback is not the issue. The Diamondbacks, this will be an interesting week for the Diamondbacks. Aaron Nola is not going to sign here. Not that I thought that he would. He's going to sign with Philadelphia. Yamamoto is going to get his contract posted, which means any team in the U.S. can go after him in a 45-day window. I believe the Diamondbacks have an interest. I just don't believe that they think they can get into the price tag in the range that, let's say, the Mets can. This will be an interesting week for Diamondback fans as free agency gets closer and the winter baseball meetings are at the first week of December. What else? Like the college basketball scene, I watched GCU the other night. U of A is just rolling over people after they took down Duke to start the season. Suns, Bradley Beal isn't playing, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that and just go down the – I'm not going to waste segments on what will it be like when Bradley Beal comes back. So we're not doing that because there's other things that are far more interesting, like Arizona State. And on the other side, Jordan Hamm, Jordan Spurgeon, we'll chop it up with them. And then John Wilner. I'm Brad Sussmat. So here we are, Thanksgiving week, and we all have a lot to be thankful. And if some of us do not have the means, think of Goodwill. This is a time of year where you have areas in your house that are getting cleaned out. I know I've just done that, getting all of our Christmas decorations out. There's a few boxes, bags that I put off to the side that have shoes from our youngest. Now that we're empty nesters, where do we take these shoes for basketball and football and wrestling? We take them to Goodwill. They're lightly used, gently used. I grew up in a spot where I didn't know where my shoes were going to come from. I really didn't. Growing up with a single mom, we just had to scrape to get by. And sometimes people lend a helping hand, and that's what Goodwill is all about. Think about Goodwill. And there's 100 of them around the valley and up in the high country as well. Out here where I live in the Southeast Valley, if I drive to church on a Sunday, I drive right by a Goodwill. One that I usually go to drive through is about 2 miles from here. And there's another one just down the road about 4 or 5 miles. But the point is, they're all around. And there's people that could use your gently used items. Think Goodwill. All right, let's start our coverage with the two guys that were on the ground this past Saturday. They've been around both the U of A and Arizona State throughout their football season. That would be Jordan Hamm, of course, long time covering the college football scene, the high school scene through the years at Sports 360 AZ, and Jordan Spurgeon, who was on the sidelines for ASU against Oregon. Jordy, I'll start with you. You were in Tucson, and let's just go big picture here. And Spurgeon, if you feel like jumping in, go for it too. But Jordy, you've been there for all season around the U of A, all the way back to Media Day. Are you surprised that they are coming into this game in Tempe with a shot at playing for the Pac-12 title?
Short answer, yes. I thought this was a very talented team, but because of the schedule, I thought it was probably about a 7-win team. So the fact that they've been able to rattle off a lot of these wins, and it really, you look back at some of the losses now, they're not that far away from being like 10-1. So that is just absolutely wild the way this team is playing. And then also the fact that, if you were to tell me at the beginning of this season that Noah Fifita would be fueling a lot of that, I might have had a little bit of pause, not because Noah's not a great quarterback, but just he wasn't a known quantity. And we kind of knew what we were getting with Jaden Delora. So the fact that he has come in and been that steady presence and hasn't had to be the guy that's making all of these wild, reckless plays, but a guy that makes the offense go and, you know, can put up big numbers if he needs to, but also can, you know, just do what he needs to do to make sure that they're putting up points. I don't know that I, at the beginning of the year, I would have believed that it would have been so flawless the way Fifita has come in this year.
All the focus has been, Jordy, on the offense and how they don't turn the ball over. And Coleman's a terrific running back and they have great wide receivers and so on, so on, so on. But can you speak to the defense that it will be coming into Sun Devil Stadium on Saturday? And just when did you start to see the corner turn and why has the corner turned defensively? Because Arizona gets after it. I mean, they smacked and we're in a rock fight with Utah and they just smacked them around and that's been their calling card this season.
They out-Utahed Utah. And that's really difficult to do against the two-time conference champions. And what they've been able to do, not only they brought in high-level talent, yes, but it's the depth that they have, where I feel like in the last year, you could see some of the pieces starting to come together. But once you got into that second team, there was a pretty significant drop-off. Now there's not much of a drop-off. So this machine is really humming on the defensive side as well. And you look along that defensive line and, you know, Bill Norton is making plays and, you know, guys in the linebacking core, Jacob Manu, that secondary where it felt like you weren't quite sure at the beginning of the year who the two safeties were going to be. And it turns out that you just had a bunch of really good safeties, not two guys that were necessarily separating themselves. And Trayton Stukes, that's played a lot of football. Gunnar Maldonado has played a lot of football. So this is a group that is playing very confidently. And I think the fact that this is year two of Johnny Nansen, when you go back nearly a decade, and that was the first time they've had a defensive coordinator stick around for 2 years. So the continuity is crucial. They really only had to replace one assistant coach on this entire staff. So I think that goes a lot into it. We always talk about the high school level when we talk about Saguaro or we talk about Chandler from, you know, previous, the past decade or so of, you know, those coaches stick around and that program is in place. We're seeing that at the college level now with U of A.
Spurge, let's flip over to you. You were there at Pac-12 Media Day in Las Vegas with Jordy and I. You've been around Arizona State. You were there on the sideline for a beatdown by Oregon last Saturday. Have you seen progress this year? Because the average fan that hasn't really paid attention, you know, they're out doing their thing, and they may go to the game this Saturday because it's a Territorial Cup and say, boy, Arizona State has been really bad. Have you seen progress under Kenny Dillingham in year one?
So the way that I see it and the way the team is phrasing it is the progress isn't there on Saturdays because the results aren't there on Saturdays. Most Saturdays, they're not there. But the buy-in from this team is there. When you go to practice, it's a different energy than we felt in recent years. You can see the work being put in. You can see the culture shifting. So fans aren't going to see that. They're not there at practice. You know, I'm not there at practice every single day, but when I'm there, Jordy, I'm sure you probably feel very similar. The culture is there. So that's the difference that we've seen with this program. the wins, the losses, they are what they are this year. It's not, you know, an excuse to possibly finish the year with only three wins. But if you said that going in and you said, you know, 4 games or 4 days before the season opens, any shot of a bowl is gone, whether or not they would have made a bowl game, they probably won it regardless. But the fact that that was there and the morale obviously plummeted, it just shows that, you know, the results on Saturday aren't going to be there this year. They weren't there this year. And so really the only change is just the culture and the slow build that they keep talking about, and the leaders on this team. You know, they keep talking Trenton Bourget, Jalen Conyers after the game. They're just talking about leaving this place better for the next generation of Sun Devils. That's what this year has been. And I know fans might not want to hear that, but that's kind of where they're at.
Jordy, you see it the same way?
I do. And the fact that this team is continuing to play hard, I can't say exactly last year that was the case, going through another really difficult year. But look at the way they had an awful loss against Utah, and look at how they bounced back against UCLA and got that win. You know, you're going up against a hyper talented Oregon team, and Oregon did what Oregon has done to a lot of different teams, this past year. So I don't think that they're gonna, all right, we're gonna pack it in. Like, we've been around enough, this territorial cup rivalry. Like, the just because throw the records out the window. Like, this is going to be, I think, a lot closer game than maybe some people anticipate. But the work is getting done behind the scenes. And, you know, Kenny has not shied away from saying that this is year zero. And much like it was with Jed Fish in their first year, he really made it like, we got a lot of work to do and we need to build a foundation here. And he credited, you know, Jed, on senior day, he credited the Jordan Morgans and the Jacob Cowings, who came in a little bit later, but the guys who did stick around to see this through, and you're starting to see the fruits of that labor. I think ASU fans are very hopeful on a similar sort of timeline that ASU can have that. But, you know, you can speed up the process a little bit with the transfer portal, but you can't speed up a culture. And that's one thing that Kenny has said throughout the years throughout the year. And I think they're doing that. They're putting that in place. Brian Ward has already gotten extension for the work that he's done. I think a lot of the coaches will probably be around here moving forward to try to help build that continuity we talked about with U of A, and now see what they can do now with some actual expectations, and they have their systems in place, and they're not, you know, running around with their hair on fire, you know, learning that they aren't going to be bowl eligible 4 days before the season.
You know what, though? I will tell you guys, I guess I see it a little differently in that, how many close losses has Arizona State had this year? I mean, everybody points to the UCLA game, right? Well, they beat UCLA. Yep, they got drilled by Utah. They got drilled by Oregon. But I would say take the Fresno State disaster out. That's been the low water mark to me for the entire season. And it was somewhat predictable because that's when the quarterbacks are dropping like flies. What have they been at? Six quarterbacks this year, if you count Conyers and Scatter.
Yeah, five have officially started a game because Scatter started against Oregon.
Right. I mean, so I'm looking at this saying they almost won three other games. They almost won with a situation, the Washington game in particular, where they're this close. Or were those look-ahead games? Was it just a bad team that doesn't know how to win games? Because that's the other side of it. Close team or close losses could equate to a bad team or a team figuring out how to win. The UCLA game was supposedly getting over the top. And so I guess coming into Saturday's game, it's really, yeah, this is the bowl game for Arizona State, but have they gotten through the worst of the worst of it? Like Spurge, when they're getting their heads kicked in, what was it, 42-3 at halftime? Against Oregon, did they roll over and quit in the second half? I didn't watch. Call me guilty. Jordy was down there watching a fan rush in the rain, and U of A where they're all excited. But did they quit on Kenny? And I guess that's the question: is how many of the swinging gates are going to open for the transfer portal after Saturday's game? A lot of players. Are they going to say I'm out of here, or are they bought in, Spurge?
To me, they're bought in. I mean, at halftime, they all came out and said that after the game, Kenny told them, I don't care about this game right now. Let's go win the second half. And they did go win the second half. They outscored Oregon in the second half. And sure, it doesn't change the way the score looks at the end of the game, but they were proud of that. They're wearing their hat on that. Trenton Bourget, Jalen Conyers, you know, they talked a lot about that after the game. Deshaun Mallory, who's been a great grad transfer for them, has really been a leader on that team. So they're completely bought in on the process. obviously, if you talk to any of the players, they're going to be frustrated with how the season went.
Sure.
But they also understand that this is how it has to be. I mean, even Conyers said he's never, you know, he admitted he's not maybe the most versed in how college football works on a grand scheme. But he's like, there's never teams that just get a head coach and immediately flip an entire program around. It doesn't work that way in year one. And so I think they all understood that. Maybe before the season, they expected it to, you know, equate to more wins potentially. But I think now as they head into Territorial Cup week, they're just, you know, glad to see that the changes in the culture, and they're throwing out the wins and the losses. Like you said, Jordan, I mean, the records don't matter coming into the teacup. I think the exact quote from Conyers is, if you can't get your ass ready for this game, you shouldn't even be on this team. You might as well leave the program now, transfer out now, because this is what it's all about. This is the big game for them this year. I know there's a lot more on the line for U of A, but for ASU, this is the bowl game. And so they're ready for that.
Jordy, I'm curious on this end, when you're in Tucson and you're talking to your people, even when you're not down there, is this Jed Fish exit? He's done a lot. His name was linked to Michigan State. He said, it's totally not true. The line season is in full force, just so we're really clear about it. A coach can deny all day long, well, I haven't talked to anybody. Yeah, well, has your agent talked to them? So, I mean, there's ways to be slippery around all this. What I'm wondering is, I'm watching the Pac-12 network broadcast, and they're talking the Utah game. It's out of hand, and it's kind of like, well, it'll be interesting to see if some of Jed's assistants come back next year, because they have opportunities for a couple of them. It's pretty wide open, and the broadcasters doing it, Ted and Yogi, are not just going to throw stuff up there against the wall. So I'm curious on your end about the coaching situation with Jed and his staff, because he's been able to keep his staff pretty much intact.
Yeah, only one new on-field assistant from going from last year to this year. So the continuity has been pretty incredible. I would imagine a football mind like Brennan Carroll would be getting some phone calls. I imagine Johnny Nansen could be looking at some other opportunities as well, or getting approached by other opportunities. You have to start thinking about what this could look like if the right opportunity. There are some big jobs available right now. And Jed has done an incredible turnaround. If there are a different set of resources for him at a different school, like a Michigan State, is that enticing enough for him? Or does he want to try to see, at least with this group, see it through a little bit, maybe try to get, you know, through the class of maybe T-Mac and Noah Fafita, see what they can fully do. And then also the chapter of the Big 12. What is that going to look like? Does he want to stick around, kind of see what that is? Or are these jobs, is it such a rarity that these type of jobs come available? And it's funny because people say that, but then there's always like four or five every year where it's a high profile job. But is that something that will, you know, maybe have him looking a little bit elsewhere and saying, you know what, I did what I thought I could do at Arizona. This was my first head coaching job. I was able to show I can do this at a very high level. Let's go see what I can do in the Big Ten. Let's go see what I can do in the SEC or, one of these blue chip programs. So I think it's still very early to tell. There are some that are like, no, he's locked down. Like he will be, you know, here for the next couple of years. And there are some that I think are starting to think like he might be playing his way out of Tucson. So it's tough to navigate right now here early on. Obviously we're hearing nothing because the focus is only on the Territorial Cup. But it's when's the last time that a coach at Arizona or Arizona State for that matter, has left for a better job, not been shown the door because the team was underperforming? Like
that's fair. No, that's, you know, it's fair. I think that's very fair. I guess I'm looking at it where the university and their president has acknowledged they can't find $240 million. It's unaccounted for. Of course it is. And so how is that going to roll if there's the head of the science department or the head of any school on campus at the U of A that has their program cut back, but Jed Fish is given a contract extension? How's that really going to look? Because not everybody gives a rat's about sports. And so I'm looking at that issue and saying, you know, if he's got opportunities out there, and this story's not just some, you know, some made up deal, this is in print. The president has acknowledged it. There's anger on campus. This is happening at the U of A. And so I'm looking at it as this is the time where, and I'll throw this over to you, Spurge, where if you sit and you wait, and you're Kenny Dillingham, I'll take it to Kenny Dillingham in Arizona State. You sit and you wait to hire an athletic director. You're missing on your NIL. You're missing on the transfer portal. You're missing on all the resources that Kenny doesn't have. And so the idea that Kenny has got this thing headed in the right direction, that sounds great, guys. But I have to tell you, after Saturday, they're not going to have an AD in place. They're not going to have NIL in place yet. So it's almost as though this is going to go into year three of the Dillingham regime before he's really given a fair shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair to say, and it's valid with both schools right now. I think both schools have their issues with U of A with the finances and ASU hiring an athletic director. We haven't heard too much. I mean, I know there's been a couple of names thrown around, but it seems like they're going to be happy to sit there. You know, I stood next to Michael Crow for a few minutes as the game was winding down, and he seemed to be, you know, pretty unbothered, just hanging there by himself, and, you know, not
have Ray with him this week. No more,
yeah,
Ray,
no Ray with him. No Ray with him.
Buddy
Chris Cartman to come up with a phone for the Ray and Crow video. So yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're going to be very patient with this, and it's fair to say that could give Kenny, you know, a tougher time figuring out the NIL stuff, because I know Kenny knows this, they still need a lot of work on the roster. You look at, you know, Oregon is cream of the crop right now, one of the top teams in the country. The size difference as soon as they step on the field is night and day, and if ASU ever wants to be a program at that level, they need that, and it starts by getting some of those guys this offseason, especially if you want to jumpstart that program. So it really depends on who the next athletic director is. I think one of the requirements should be to have patience with Kenny Dillingham and his program, especially if they do make a late hire. It shouldn't be, you know, if you bring an athletic director, they shouldn't expect ASU football to be turned around next year, especially if the hire doesn't happen till late spring. Like, their resources aren't going to be there for something great to happen next year unless things happen soon. So I think that should be one of the requirements, is still have patience and trust in this process. It's been very quick at U of A with Jed Fish, but I don't know if it's going to head that way with ASU with some of the dysfunction.
Okay, I'll get you out of here on this. Jordy, when you look at the matchup, just looking at the game on Saturday, U of A is a 9-point favorite, 9.5-point favorite in some places. Is that about right, or is this a bigger mismatch coming into this Saturday's game?
I think based on seeing the way that ASU responded after the Utah loss, I think it's fair to say that what we will see this upcoming Saturday is not what we saw last Saturday. I think the defense is going to play much better, and if they want to be in this game, it's going to have to come down to the Arizona State defense and the Arizona State defense forcing some turnovers, the Arizona State offense pulling out some tricks, and also not turning the ball over. And if they can control the tempo, I think that they can be in this game. And again, it's a rivalry game. Like, we've seen crazy things happen over the years. If it is where U of A is dictating the tempo and it's like against Utah, where one play into the second quarter, all of a sudden it's 28-0. Like, yes, this is going to be a complete blowout. But that is, we've seen the formula when it's against UCLA, when it was against Washington. Like, they know how to stay in these games. And if they can control X, Y, and Z, they should be in the zip code of being able to, you know, be in it late in the second half and making some plays here and there. Easier said than done, because like, this passing game looks really good. I wouldn't want to try to tackle Jonah Coleman. And you know, it's kind of crazy also, cause like, Michael Wiley has kind of been, you know, the second person in that backfield. All of a sudden they have some dudes in the backfield too. So I don't know if the depth will get shown as much as we've seen it the past couple weeks. But yeah, I think 9 feels about right, where we're at right now. But ASU, I think there is a blueprint for them to be competitive in this game and potentially win this game. But a lot of they cannot have the you know, self-induced mistakes on their end.
Good stuff there with Jordan Hamm. He's been covering the college scene. Jordan Spurgeon on Arizona State. The two of them, we look ahead Saturday at the stadium, Frank Cush Field, and it will be Arizona against Arizona State. All right, as promised, John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner Hotline, all things college football with the Territorial Cup coming up this Saturday. John hosts a podcast every week with John Canzano, they do this dueling podcast, guys together doing their deal. I shouldn't say dueling podcast, but they're together going back and forth. They had Kenny Dillingham on their podcast this last week. So I'm just curious, let's start there. How did you find Kenny to be? If somebody wanted to check out this content, where would they go?
Well, Canzano and Wilner is on Apple and SoundCloud. Thank you for the opportunity there to plug. You know, he was Dillingham. He was passionate, right? And he talked about a lot of good stuff. I had intended, you know, we reached out to ASU a while ago about this because I was fascinated by what it is like to coach a team that can't go to a bowl game. Mm. And how does he manage that internally? What happened on that day, August 25th or 26th, whatever it was, when they were told all that? I've just been fascinated by it the whole year because he has kept their motivation and their energy level high, right? They've been playing hard all the way. So then we got talking and we touched on that, but God, there was so much to get into with him, right? Because they were going to play Oregon, his former team, and yep. Bo Nix, his former quarterback. And he talked about how he handles in-game strategy on adjusting his play calls based on what the defense is doing. That was really interesting. He talked about who he would root for if Oregon played Florida State in the college football playoff, his two former schools. I asked him why ASU fans should be optimistic that he is going to turn always something university
yes.
into a, because I know you have referenced that many times, into a winner. And he talked very passionately about his passion for ASU. And it certainly comes through when you talk to him. And I do think that that is what potentially could set him apart from a lot of the other coaches they've had over the decades is, you know, he's got his blood and guts in this thing, right?
John, when he was hired a year ago, I don't know if I felt from you, and I certainly had my reservations because he'd never been a head coach. It's a year later. What are they saying nationally about the Arizona State hire? Forget about Herm, forget about Ray, Antonio, all the nonsense, okay? What are they saying about what kind of job Kenny Dillingham is doing year in?
People have been pretty impressed because they, you know, they got three wins and everybody knows they played, is it six quarterbacks? I can't keep track, yeah, right. You know? I mean, they're playing tailbacks at quarterback, they're playing receivers at quarterback. Everybody knows they're battered and bruised. And yet they almost beat Washington. They almost beat SC, Colorado, Cal, right? They are 3-7 and a couple of bounces here and there. And they could be, or 3-8, I guess they, you know, they could be, you know, 5-6, 6-5. And so that has impressed a lot of people that he has maintained their passion level all the way through this ordeal. But a lot of folks can't really separate Dillingham from the bigger picture of the administrative mismanagement, right? Everybody's like, well, he's been, you know, dealt a 2, 3, 4, and 6 or something, you know, if he's playing cards, the worst hand possible by his administration. It's hard to separate that. And everybody's been very impressed with what he's done. I don't know that anybody is ready to declare him a first-rate head coach, but people have liked what they've seen. They've certainly liked the creativity he showed. You know, the swinging gate stuff is fantastic. He's really resourceful, and he has kept their energy and enthusiasm up.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Wilner, hotline, all things around the Pac-12. John and I chop it up every week. All right, Arizona State. Cats are favored by 9. That seems about right, even on the road. I am guessing that Saturday is going to be a bit of a cat takeover in Tempe. What do you make out of this game, big picture?
Well, so I mean, Arizona's playing for potentially a berth in the championship game, right? Because if they win and Oregon loses, Arizona's in. They're in Vegas playing Washington for the conference title. And they will know what their situation is because the Oregon State game is Friday evening. So you know, it's hard to kind of predict how the game's going to go because if Oregon wins and Arizona is blocked from going to Vegas, then it becomes more of a, you know, we're just playing to beat ASU. They don't have that extra level of stakes involved. If Oregon loses, then Arizona's going to come out. I would think there'll be smoke coming out of their nostrils, right? Because they win, they got a chance to play for the conference title. So to me, you know, the line and the outlook, a lot's going to take shape starting at about 8 o'clock Friday night when we know if Oregon has won or lost.
Bounce over to U of A, their side of the football. Jed Fish's name linked to the Michigan State job. He says not true. His name's going to be linked to a lot of places. Do you expect him to return to U of A, John?
I think it's probably a little bit better than 50-50 at this point, but I think that there's certainly a chance he could go somewhere else, right? He doesn't have Arizona blood or Tucson blood like Dillingham does with ASU and Phoenix, right? And anytime you hire somebody who doesn't have roots at your program and your school, there's a chance that they're going to go to a bigger school of more money, a place where football is the primary sport, right? Arizona is a basketball school. Fish is never going to get away from that. So, you know, if somebody comes and offers to, he's making what, $3 million a year? Somebody comes and offers and pay him $6 a year at a football school, it might be a hard offer to turn down. We will see what kind of negotiations unfold with Arizona, right? Here's Arizona. They got a $250 million accounting mistake, right? That is causing great emotional pain and is going to result in budget cuts across the university, right? So they're negotiating with Jed Fish, very successful coach. The money Fish gets isn't coming directly from that pot of cash university has, but the optics for giving Fish a big raise would be terrible. And yeah, the faculty responds to optics, right? They don't care. Some professor doesn't care that Jed Fish's money is coming from someplace else. If his academic programs are getting cut, he's going to raise holy hell with the president. So it's a little bit of a tricky situation for Bobby Robbins. And I don't know how it's going to turn out with Fish and if they're going to make him an offer that will, you know, basically take him off the market.
It's going to be really interesting Saturday. Just there's so much that's fallen into place. And as you put it rightly, the Oregon State being on Friday night. John, have a great holiday with your kids. Appreciate chopping up with you as always.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. You can find his content. Follow him on X, Twitter, at Wilner Hotline, and on sports360az.com. And we're back with more after this timeout.